This is the Shotgun City Sheriff, the law himself, Clayton Clark.
This is the Young Titan, Aaron Atlas.
This is your favorite drunken pro wrestler, a.k.a. the Bud Light brawler, Dalton Davis.
This is Danger Josh Crane.
Hey, this is Matt Brannigan.
This is Sage Phillips, the Catch Wrestling Casanova.
This is Steve Wilson, the man behind former Impact Wrestling and current independent wrestling star, the monster, Congo Kong.
This is Jake Something.
And this is the jaw-jacking, back-cracking, God created all men equal, and then he made me the sequel, Rohit Raju, and you are listening to the Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast. Hell yeah.
The Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast? Yeah, that's right, I stuttered. Shut up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Spot Show Podcast. Professional wrestling podcast, Madrox. It's not about professional wrestling.
It's not.
It doesn't make sense, though, because we talk about wrestling.
We tried this before.
Originally, we wanted to not be about wrestling, and then we saw the analytics, brother, and we only get hits when we talk about fucking wrestling. So now we gotta start talking about wrestling more.
We're cornered into a box.
You guys said that, like, this isn't a professional one. Is this why this isn't paid?
Well, I mean, you gotta talk about the, you know, behind the scenes of it, brother, but I mean, we are going to get paid.
You got a beer in front of your face, you're good.
We're going to be getting paid at some point.
I just, you know, I wanted to get my CM Punk shoot High Cole Cabana spot in.
Listen, don't get us heat bringing up Punk.
My bad, Phillip Brooks.
So anyway, I'm joined as always by the one-man boy band, Michael Madrox.
No, not today.
Not today.
Not today. You got the one half drunk legged Michael Madrox.
Are you drunk already?
I'm buzzing pretty good.
How many have you had?
I've had two beers, one shandy, and a shot of whiskey, and it's all because of him.
You see, this is what happens when he comes into the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest, because Travis doesn't really count as a first guest, because he's kind of a part of Mad Bash.
Well, this guy's kind of Mad
Bash.
Let's
be honest, you're part of Mad Bash. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the Bud Light Brawler, Mr. Dalton Davis.
Hey guys, appreciate you. I have just a quick question. I know like this is like your guys' podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Ask questions, but like you said, the one-legged, one-half drunk, like does that balance out there?
It's got to.
Yeah, well, I thought so. But yeah, that's
I
just
got half a leg gone, man. Like, I can't get too drunk. Who's going to carry me?
I'm me.
You're going to use my arms as backpack straps?
Yes.
I'm okay with this.
And I know you guys said don't bury anybody, but he's cool with this. Because I
don't bury
right off the bat.
I know you guys like this. Hey, you guys are used to this. But
So let's expose the kayfabe conversation that we had before this when Dickie said don't bury anybody. I'm joking.
So I will say, like, you say, like, I can carry you, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember I was in a tag team with Jason Levi?
Oh God.
Yeah. So I'm kind of used to carrying Jason. If you're hearing this, you know it.
Brother, I can post.
Yep. Hey, that's one step more than Jason Levy has.
Jason Levy, you'll love it. You'll love it. I'd love to get him on here. We can probably get some fun stories with him. We can probably get some fun stories with old Levy.
Yeah, well, I mean, He's in town, so.
I know. We have an open door for anyone, really. I mean, it's like you're more than welcome to come on the podski whenever you want. I mean, and that's funny.
Not true, though.
Well, I mean,
we have our time frames we got to follow, and we kind of book ourselves in corners sometimes.
We do. We book ourselves in the corner. He just polished off his third beer. Is that your third or second?
That is my, well, if we're going to count, like.
Oh, that was his fourth.
I started drinking when I got home.
Oh.
So
that was his fourth since being here.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's gonna get fun.
And the whiskey.
Uh oh. Oh, cracking open an ice cold Steve Weiser.
What?
Speaking.
Let's go.
Speaking of drinking, Dickie, what's in your head?
I got me a nice little zero proof shandy going on here.
He had to get the zero alcohol to join the boys.
I did. I got me some.
You know, I feel special.
Yeah. I did it because I wanted to be able to drink with Dalton Davis. I don't drink normally. I'm straight edge. So the only reason you don't know I'm not straight edge is because I'm not a fucking dick about it like all the other straight edge people are, where it's not a personality trait. It's just like I just don't drink. But anyways, this, to put it bluntly, this was a clusterfuck to get this podcast to happen.
Dude, that's why I'm drinking so much.
It's been like 2 months?
We've been planning this for about 2 months, yes.
Yeah.
And then over the last like 3 weeks is when things really, really like, were like, fuck you, no, we're not going to let you record this podcast. Because we've wanted to do this for a while. Like,
yeah,
we've talked about this. There's a, we have a short list of people that are like the be all and end all who we want. And you're obviously one of them. So, So we finally get the plan and we're like, yeah, man, Dickie's going on vacation. When Dickie gets back from vacation, let's do this fucking podski. I come back sick. So I'm like, fuck, man, we got to reschedule. So we reschedule. And then a fucking tornado essentially touches down in our town. And I was without power for a week. And
that was lovely.
Thank God. Thank God for Mama and Papa Wabash.
This boy's been privileged in a hot tub the whole time.
They have a whole house generator. They lost power too.
Oh, really?
But they have a whole house generator. So I was able to go over to Casa de Mama and Papa Wabash. Look at Madrox cracking one open now.
I got you, man.
I felt really blessed.
That was a Coke Zero, though.
I'm taking a little break.
I felt really blessed because, like, I didn't lose power or Wi-Fi or anything like that during this whole thing. Like, literally a block next to me did, and a block after me did. But I never lost it, so I consider myself blessed because, I mean, literally an hour before the tornado hit, I had bought a 30-pack.
Oh.
And if my refrigerator would have went out, dude.
You would have had to chug it.
Well, that's not really the issue, but it's like sometimes, you know, like I like to come home and just look at it, you know,
just be like, it's my baby.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And just like acknowledge,
I get that. I'm a parent.
Everybody, like, yeah. Everybody's saying acknowledge the tribal chief. I acknowledge.
No, let's acknowledge,
my beard.
Yeah. Let's acknowledge that dirty 30, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's acknowledge that. Hey, before we get too far into this, though, I just want to remind everyone that this episode of the Spot Show podcast is brought to you by Elite Pro Wrestling, Sewer Layer Toys, and BurntBuds.com. But you're going to hear a little bit more about them later because we got the brother of all brothers here, Mr. Dalton Davis. And man, you know, we were just talking about it a little bit, how this was kind of a clusterfuck to even get this to happen. This is one we've been looking forward to, though, man, because you have a very unique perspective on like early Michael Madrox and early Dickie Wabash, because you were the fat little kid in the front row
that got landed on my tag team partner.
So let's start with that story, because this is how I first came to know of you.
Yeah.
Is where I'll let you take over here in a second, brother, because I don't know how it happened, but I'm going to tell it from my perspective. Okay. You tell it from your perspective, you being Madrox.
Oh, and then let me go first.
If you even remember, I want you to tell it from your perspective. So I'm just hanging out. Nothing really major is going on. And the promoter for this show is freaking the fuck out. And he's like, oh my God, a kid just got landed on Josh Steele. Josh, do you have any merch that you can give him? Does anybody have any merch that we can give this kid? Because he's probably assuming lawsuit.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. I mean, you got to go into crisis control. But
imagine what I would have gotten if I had a lawsuit? I could have had like my own ring.
Brother, you wouldn't have gotten much.
Well, yeah, it wasn't much. But like to a said 8-year-old kid, like, hey.
You were 8 when that happened?
Give or take.
Give or take. Jesus.
After the lawyer fees, though, you would have lost everything.
Yeah. No, you were older than 8 because that was 10 years ago.
No, he was older. He was like 8, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I can't give you the exact age, but like I was young. Like I was still in youth football young.
Damn. You were younger than I thought, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's from my perspective. I think I came over because I was ring announcing at the time. Yeah. I gave you one of my cue cards. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that. Josh Steele gave you a chain and a t-shirt. I think the Juggernauts gave you a bracelet. So then now let's go back a little bit. So the promoter is talking about, oh my God, a kid just got landed on, da 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 da. So let's talk about the kid getting landed on.
Dude, so all I know is I get back from the match. It was a tag team match, me and my partner at the time, JC Hero, versus Kenneth James and Drew Lykos, Revolution.
That's who you were working. I could not for the life of me remember who you were working.
I had no idea anything fucking happened because I wasn't to blame. I get to the back and the promoter's looking at me. He's like, you need to go out there and apologize right now. I'm like, for what? Thinking like, you know, I was a heel at the time. So I was like, who did butthole did I hurt this time? And he goes, one of you guys landed on a kid. I was like, well, it wasn't fucking me. I'm not going out there saying I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Michael Madrox is the one doing house show dives.
No, it was my fucking tag partner couldn't catch the 125-pound guy when I caught the fucking, what, 245-pound guy. Like,
yeah.
And so I get stuck going out there because at the time I was like one of the backstage bookers and help promote the shows and shit. So I go out there and I see this little fat fucking kid that looks like Porky Pig. Blonde, curly hair.
And love his, you too, man.
His dad's looking all angry and his mom's cussing me out. And I'm like, I don't know what happened, but I'm told I'm forced to say sorry to you guys. And
I've had the I have to apologize. We'll
I gave him a couple juggernaut bracelets, free tickets to the next show. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't give a fuck about this kid's safety at the time.
So fun fact about that. It wasn't my mom that was with me that night.
Was it your mom? It
was not my mom that night. It was actually a mother of a kid that played on my football team.
No.
But she was equally as angry.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But this is the way that I remembered it. I remember I had a football game that night, and my father said, hey, because about that point with football, I loved the sport, but like, you got to tell me, dude, that I got to get up at 9 a.m.
to yeah, put no on shit.
Shoulder pads
to yeah.
go play in front of my family and friends when I can wait until noon, do the same thing in the backyard. Uh-uh. So my dad was like, hey, if you get up, there's a wrestling show going on. I'll take you to it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was your first show, right?
Yes.
That's what makes it even better. That, yes. That's what makes the story that's even the icing so much.
On the cake.
That's what makes it so much better.
So I we get there and I remember because a little pretext to that, like I never missed a Monday or a Friday watching wrestling. Always watched wrestling. I had all the toys, all the action figures, had my own music picked out, yada yada yada. So we get there and that match comes on. And I remember I was sitting in the front row and I remember seeing Madrox, you and your partner, like right in front of me. And I was like, I was geeking out. So I was like, dude, like this is the first time like a match is.
It's the closest you've ever been to like, a live show.
You're welcome for that memory.
Hey, I appreciate you. and then I can't lie to you. Like I seen them take off for the dive. And then I don't remember anything after they hit the dive. I remember I came to it. And I just remember I looked at my dad and I said, I got a really bad headache. Like, I need some Tylenol. And my dad, like, was just you guys know. You guys good.
I've seen the angry face on your dad.
You guys know good old JD. He was pissed. And I remember at that time, Tank.
Yep, Tank. Shout out.
He was in a cast. So he was doing, like.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I went over.
I did that.
I don't know why. But I was like, yeah, Tank's got Tylenol. I'm going to go ask him. And so I went up to him and he was like, let me take you into the back. And I remember I had went back in the back and that was like the first time ever in wrestling because like granted I'm Gen Z, but that was like the first time in wrestling that like the curtain had ever been peeled back for me. Like I never seen like backstage crap.
And that's a young age for that to happen too.
And so like I seen all you guys cutting up and I was like, what is like.
Like, what wait a minute, these it? Guys were wrestling.
Yeah,
wait a minute. Josh what? Steele and Mike Wilde are friends, yeah, which like, is what? Funny which because is of funny. The time they were not. They hated each other. That's it's a shoot.
Funny that you say that because the promoter that came up to me, he was like, who do you want to meet? Like, we're so sorry this happened, yada, yada, yada. I can't remember the exact name, but Mike Wilde used to wrestle under a hood.
Fabuloso.
Fabuloso.
Yes. I was a Fabuloso mark. And I was like, I want to meet him. Like that's all I want to meet. Ended up getting to meet him, getting all this merch. I remember me and my dad driving home. My dad called my mom. He was like, yeah, we're on our way back. Parker got landed on. He's all right though. He got it. And I literally grabbed the phone from my mom and I said, I got a t-shirt though.
That was the coolest. You probably thought it was the coolest thing ever though.
And it
sucked. Like you said, you have Tylenol. I got a headache. I need Tylenol, but still it was probably
a concussion. I got a t-shirt and a couple bracelets.
I landed on a kid one time.
Yeah.
And because what happened, we did spot. It was at New Wave where I was managing GT Vega. And Showtime. I was on the apron, Showtime, GT, Money Vega.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
We're going to Vegas. And he was wrestling Josh Steele. And I was on the apron, and they did a spot where he threw Vega between the ropes into me, and then Vega like speared me, and then we like we fell off the apron, yeah. And we landed on a kid, and that kid like remembered that, and anytime he would see me, he would be like, "Remember when you landed on me? Remember when you landed on me?" And I was like, that "Apparently,
that was like." And I'm not trying to like put you guys over because you guys are right here, but I literally said this to so many people, like wrestling has always been on my mind.
Yeah.
Never once has it not been. But that exact moment, I remember we were crossing the bridge from West T that night. And I remember I looked over at my dad and I said, "Dad," I said, "I want to be a wrestler." And he was like, "Are you serious?" Like,
so that was the moment.
Yeah, that was the moment. Like I've always like, I was a kid at the time. So like I've always had that moment where like, you know, like parents are gone or doing outside doing yard work and you crank up your music real quick and you make your entrance into your bedroom and beat up a stuffed animal.
Brother, I did that at fucking 18.
Yeah. So that was literally me building up to that point. He's not. And then when that moment happened, I was like, I might actually be able to do this.
Yeah.
All I remember is after that, like the promoter was so scared you were going to sue. And then this little fat kid ended up coming to every damn show, and I became close friends with the father and the mother of this little fat kid. And get this,
boy, I realized, sure didn't. We'll get to that later.
I even realized somewhere down the line they're related to my oldest son.
Yeah,
are we really?
Aiden, yeah,
you didn't know that?
Really?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah. Your mom's Aiden's cousin or aunt somewhere down where.
What a moment, brother.
That's so nuts.
So like we're kind of family.
That's nuts.
And the Dickie Wabash multiverse.
Yeah. Let's not bring up the Dickie verse anymore.
That is actually crazy. Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, bro.
That's nuts.
I've had that moment before, too, where you realize, like, oh, my God, you're related to me. Like, I had that happen a lot in high school because my grandma was one of, like, 10 siblings, I think, like 10 or 12 siblings. So just sisters, kids everywhere. And there would be like girls that I like would have crushes on or whatever. And I would be like, "Hey, what's the deal here?" And they'd be like, "Yep, you're related." And I'd be like, "Okay." Not like I would make a move anyway because I'm insecure and in high school, but it was just one of those things.
Go home and you're like, "Well, that was awkward."
Yeah. Yeah.
Only you can get yourself in those situations.
I know. I know. So then, like, yeah, I knew that you had then like started coming to like every show because I remember you at every show.
He started becoming a member of the ring crew. He'd come early just to set up.
Yeah. And
still pay for his damn tickets.
Which to this day, that might be the weirdest way to get into the business. Yeah, brother, I got landed on and now I'm in the business.
Yeah, hey, it worked out though.
It did work out.
And like the way I just looked at it was like, obviously, after that time, like we started going more to the shows, and then my dad ended up working security.
Yep,
conveniently, and then I just
where the fuck was he the night you got landed on?
No shit, right next to me, dude. Parker screwed Parker. Like,
was he CWF security? Did he work CWF or did he start at New Wave?
He worked a couple, like literally maybe one or two shows at CWF.
He started at the Relay for Life show. I remember that.
Yes.
And oh then, God, that was like October. And then, like, a month later, the company imploded.
No, they made it all the way to February.
Well, no, but I'm talking when the split happened.
Oh, yeah, the split.
When the split happened. It was 2 months later. I think the Davis family went the New Wave route.
No, they were neutral.
Oh, really? I never knew.
They were there until CWF folded.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway... Madrox is talking about how like these, you know, your dad's angry because you landed. And then he's like, then I ended up becoming friends with him. We're going to fast forward a little bit here because
where this is going.
I had quite the different, interaction with your mother,
Mama Davis,
when I was first meeting her.
Yeah.
Because so for those of you that don't know, at CWF in 2012, I was a ring announcer. And then when New Wave Pro started, I became a heel manager and I healed it up big time. And there was this fat kid.
He says he was a heel. He was just a dick back then.
Dude, the line between Josh and Dickie was very fucking thin back then. I lived the gimmick a little bit too much. That's what I was just talking to someone and I was talking about like how I kind of downplay, like, this is gonna make me sound like I have an ego, but I do. Like, I kind of downplay like how good I think I really am because it makes me sound like a braggart, and
shut
I sound
the
like
fuck up. I have never heard you downplay anything.
But no, and then she told me, she's like, I just think you should just embrace it, and I'm like, that got me in trouble 10 years ago. But anyway, so I'm being this heel. And of course, there's this little fat mark in the front row that would, you were guaranteed, you were a surefire. If you needed to get heat.
He played along so well.
If you needed to get heat, but see, that's the thing. Were you playing along?
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think Mama and Papa Davis really, I think your dad might have because he was kind of smart to it.
Daddy and Baby Davis were good into it at this point. It was Mama Davis that she just started coming around at that point.
And I will agree. Like,
by the way, before we get into this, Mama Davis, I fucking love you. You're a great woman.
I love you, Mama Davis.
Toast to Mama Davis.
Toast to Mama Davis. Yeah,
Mama Davis, I love you, but you scared the shit out of me.
Especially, when I tell my story.
She just started coming around at that point. And so, like, being around, because around that time is when I started doing, like, Ring Crew. And, like, I was around, like, some of the boys. And granted, like, to you guys, I was just, oh, yeah, that's Ring Crew, Fat Mark. But, like, to me, I was like, oh, shit, like, this is the curtain that's being peeled back. Like, I'm seeing these guys out of character.
And,
like,
see, it's funny that you say that. And this is a little bit of a spoiler ski for next week's podcast or next time's podcast. His boy Logan is getting into the business now. And to hear you say that, like, it's almost one for one, like, how Logan
is like
feeling.
Little Parker.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of you because because you got those starry eyes and you still have, they're not starry because you drank too many Bud Lights. They're starry because you have the fucking drive.
It was just that moment that I was like a lot of people that I was friends with just watched wrestling.
Yeah.
And like, for me to be like, hey guys, sorry I can't hang out or ride bikes this weekend. I'm going to a wrestling show to set up a ring and hang out with the wrestlers. And I was like, oh, like that's something that not a lot of people get to do. So I was just like appreciative.
We talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciative of the opportunity that I was in. And a lot of guys, like, I remember one of the first workers that I got like kind of close to was, in fact, Josh Steele.
Dude, same.
And Josh was like, hey, he's like, you're always coming up and saying thank you to me for my matches. He's like, but I want to say thank you to you. And I said, like, what for? And I'll never forget this. He said, no matter what, you get the crowd into it. He was like, you tell them who they need to boo and who they need to cheer. Even when we have new fans come in that aren't sure on what's what. And so, like, from that moment on, which is around that time that this incident happened, I was like, okay, this is my job. My job is to be a mark right now.
And you worked it very well.
Hey, I appreciate
and
you.
And so
buddy.
I play into that.
About the only good time
that
I've ever worked good.
So I play into that because you were legitimately the, hey, look, there's Parker. Go get heat off him if you need heat. And so I would. And brother, I got, how many are we in? Five? Is this number five? Crack it open, brother.
I just cracked mine open.
Get that ASMR. There we go. Swig a beer for the working man.
Dalton Davis is not condone alcoholism.
Yeah, bullshit.
If you get alcohol, give it to me.
So I am also very much in my I just do not give a fuck era. And Dickie Wabash not giving a fuck. You told me this in a message that you want Menace Dickie back.
Nothing would please me more than see that shitty Burlington Coat Factory vest and the mixed match Converse.
Kohl's. It was Kohl's.
Okay, my fault.
Same thing.
But a little fancier.
Yeah, make that a comeback, dude. And then you hear the boo-doo-doo-doo before the music. I would pop.
The Pokemon battle theme? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Menace Dickie was really what got me in a lot of trouble. But anyways, we were at a Relay for Life show. This always happens at Relay for Life. Why is it always Relay for Life?
That's
shows?
Where all the good stuff
That's happens, where all the good man. Shit goes down.
Cancer's
brother.
Good.
No, we do not condone that. So I don't even remember the match, I don't even remember what the match is, but I'm managing a menagerie. It was like an 8-man tag. I'm managing a menagerie of heels because at that time, I didn't really have someone that I was specifically with. It was when I was doing the Dickie Wabash is just a menace.
Yeah.
And he's like causing trouble for New Wave Pro. So on these spot shows, they would just throw me with random heels.
This is pre-Wabash Talent Agency.
This is Chaotic Evil.
This was Chaotic Evil Dickie. The Wabash Talent Agency had started in UWC. Because this was 2013 when this happened.
This is before Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was pre
that. It was really before it had really taken off. So, because the Wabash Talent Agency, no one cares. So we're doing, you know, I'm managing like whoever the heels are in this match. And I just hear, bah, 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 it's you. And I don't even look at you. I just extend a middle finger. And then go back to what I'm doing. So the match goes on, finish happens, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the back, I'm getting dressed, and this pissed me off because he did not need to come at me this way. This fucking slap on my shoulder, three slaps on my shoulder. I turn around, it's the promoter, and he just holds his finger up and does the come hither. And I'm like, okay. And he walks over and he stops and looks right at me in the eyes. He goes, did you what Dalton Davis just did? Remember the conversation that we had at Hybrid? No, we can't even. We can't. You remember the one, right? So the promoter is just like right in my face and he's like, did you tell a kid to fuck off? And I said, no. I know the limits.
Yeah.
I know the fucking limits. Like, I'm not going to tell a kid to fuck off. Well, there's a mom out there and she is fucking livid because you told her son to fuck off. I didn't, but if you need me to play the role that I did and need me to apologize, it's going to take my fucking heat, but I'll go apologize. And then I did.
Yeah.
And then later, here's what brought your mom around. This is what brought your mom around. My mom. Because they were talking and she being my mom goes, I'm Dickie's mom. And your mom was like, oh, really? And then they talked a little bit. Then my mom explained to her like, look, he's a good guy. Like he's just,
yeah.
And then I think that's what brought your mom around was my mom.
My mom, like, so when you did that, I'll never forget when you did that.
Cause for the record, I did not tell you to fuck off.
No, he did not. When you did that, me and my dad started dying laughing. But this was like,
cause I knew it was you.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is when his mom first started coming around. Yeah. So she didn't know.
She wasn't smartened up.
She was,
it's all real, brother.
Yeah.
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 Still real to me. Damn it.
Fuck. Yeah.
That was her. But she, we were trying to explain it to her, but like, I think that moment, like her just talking to your mom kind of like calmed her down. And then that went like when you came in,
cause this was like a couple of shows later.
Yeah.
Cause she would stare daggers at me when I would come out. Fucking hated me. And then
when you guys finally had that conversation after the whole apology, like she was smartened up then. So she understood like, hey, like, you know, this is show Dickie. Like, this is what I've got to do for my job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so now she's a whole lot better in it now.
Well, I mean, fast forward 10 years later to now and a few months ago, we're at Envision and I'm talking to her and she's asking me how I'm doing. I just look her dead in the eyes and go, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm fucking depressed. I'm the most depressed I've been in a very long time. Just straight shooting. And she was like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just fucking sad. And then we stood and talked for a minute and she genuinely cared.
Yeah.
But what was great about that is, I mean, I got the heat that I wanted, but at the same time, it kind of, have you as a heel ever had to apologize? I know you obviously have you? Because it fucking sucks everything that you're doing out.
So I worked a show, not going to name names, and I was a heel. Conveniently enough, it was a benefit show, which you guys probably already know where that is.
Again, it's always these free shows where this shit happens.
And it was for a lady who had passed away of breast cancer. And that subject's very like hard on me because my mom went through it a couple
and
times.
That's why, sorry to cut you off, but that's why our moms bonded, because my mom has survived breast cancer three times.
Yeah.
And that's how they, twice. And that's how they first bonded was over, because that's the one thing they have in common is they've been through that battle and their kids are in the wrestling business. Yeah. But, I think that's what won her over and then made her realize like, oh, he's just a person. But anyway, sorry.
No, you're all good.
Glad your guys' mom survived cancer.
Oh, come on.
I was in the middle of just getting heat. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know, trying to give the fans the show. And there was one lady out of everybody that was there that was wearing the one lady wearing a pink shirt.
Yeah.
And I just looked over at her. I was not, like, I said it just like this. I said, hey, ma'am, are you a breast cancer survivor? Broke character in the middle of the ring. And she took that as, this MF-er is trying to poke fun at me. When I wasn't, I was just genuinely trying to ask because I was going to give her my condolences.
Yeah, devil's advocate, I can kind of understand, especially if you were playing.
Yeah, I can understand.
But I understand from your perspective too, because you're genuinely trying to be like, hey, I understand. My mom went through the same thing.
And we later finished that out. It got bad. There's an old guy with the switchblade. Cops got called. I got a police escort out of
been there, done that. Company. We've been there, done that
with guns.
The next show that I was booked there, I went up to her and I said, "Hey, like, I apologize. That wasn't Dalton talking to you. That was Parker, who was genuinely just curious. I'm sorry if it came off that way." And she goes, "Tensions were just high." She goes, "I'm sorry." So that was the story then. But yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, you say you're sorry and you're like, oh, fuck, dude, there goes all my heat. Like, I was an asshole for nothing.
Have you ever?
We have Dalton Davis on this podcast, and yet his mother is stealing all the shine and stories from him.
I mean, but she was in.
Way to get yourself over, bitch.
So anyway, we don't mean it, mama. I need to cut that one out. I almost slipped a name up because the names are very similar. Hey, I say that we take a little regroup here and we hear a word from our sponsors.
Yeah, Parker's mom, 30 minutes in. Damn.
This episode of the Spot Show podcast is powered by Sewer Layer Toys, located at 3197 South 3rd Place in Terre Haute, Indiana. Guys, let me tell you one thing about Sewer Layer Toys, right? You're going to walk in, you're going to see a bunch of stuff that you want to buy, and you're going to be thinking to yourself, man, do I really want to buy this? Do I really need this stuff? Well, yeah, you do. You're going to walk in there, you're going to see a plethora, an endless amount of vintage toys, of retro toys, of modern toys, of that toy that maybe you had as a kid and you vaguely remember it. You're going to see it there. Very fairly priced. Listen, I go in there and I love it. I get most of my collectibles there. Same goes for Madrox. We love these guys. Go in there, tell them the Spot Show podcast sent you just so that I can prove to Scott that people are actually listening to us and that we are actually worth tying our name to them. I'm joking, of course. Listen, Scott and Andrew are two great guys. They run a really, really good store located in Terre Haute. Again, if you go to 3197 South 3rd Place, that is behind the mall in Terre Haute, Indiana, go in there to Sewer Layer Toys. You are going to find some really, really good stuff. This episode of the Spot Show podcast is also brought to you by Elite Pro Wrestling. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing about Elite Pro Wrestling right now, right? I'm going to get a little bit personal about it for a minute, right? Elite Pro Wrestling made me love pro wrestling again. They put on an incredible product. If you want to see what Elite Pro Wrestling has going on, you can go to facebook.com/EPW Elite. There you are going to find a list of upcoming shows. You're going to find videos from past shows. You are going to find everything that you need to know about Elite Pro Wrestling. if you are in the area of Odin, Indiana, or sometimes Washington, Indiana, then you are going to want to check out Elite Pro Wrestling. Some of the best pro wrestling in the state of Indiana, and I truly, truly mean that. So again, go to facebook.com/EPW Elite for everything that you need to know about Elite Pro Wrestling. This episode of the Spot Show podcast is also brought to you by BurntBuds.com. You can check out Burnt Buds for all your cannabis-inspired clothing, jewelry, and accessories. And guess what? You can know that you're doing good. Burnt Buds has non-binary sizing up to 4XL. And here's the best part of all, 1% of all Burnt Buds profit goes to charities such as The Last Prisoner Project and The Trevor Project. Cannabis not your thing? Well, I got good news for you. Burnt Buds also has a variety of humor, Rasta, and LGBTQ plus themed clothing and jewelry. But I'm going to sweeten the deal here a little bit for you. If you go on over to BurntBuds.com and use our promo code SPOTSHOW10, you are going to get 10% off your entire purchase. Again, that is SPOTSHOW, the number 10. For 10% off your purchase at burntbuds.com. That is BURNTBUDZ.com. You can also check them out on Facebook at Burnt Buds. Check them out on Instagram at burnt_buds. Again, go to burntbuds.com, promo code SPOTSHOW10. For 10% off your entire purchase.
See, so far we're putting over shitty fans.
Yeah.
Mama Davis.
Yep.
The Steel Family.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Madrox. Fuck Dalton Davis.
Exactly. We haven't even put over the guy that we got on this show.
Oh, I'm in the business of putting people over, baby.
No, man. Like,
job squad.
It's almost one of those things of where it's like I have to turn on the fact that I'm in promotion mode for you because I'm just used to talking to you so normally. Like, because you know how I feel about you, and you know that I think you're fucking great, and I think that you're you're one of the OG brothers, like, for us. Really,
keyword there is brother. Like, yeah. This ain't no like fucking just indie shit. This is like, I trust this guy with my life.
I fucking would. I remember your first match that you ever reffed. Like, I remember being there for that and just shit like that.
It's honestly, it's kind of like, this is going to sound really poetic, but I was at the shoot job today and I listened to music cranked up, just trying to get me through my day. And Middle Child by J. Cole popped on.
Okay.
And there was a bar in there that like, just made me feel how, like, because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I'm with two of my bigger brothers today. Next weekend, I'm going to be sharing a locker room with all my little brothers. You know what I mean? And he just said, I'm little bro and big bro all at once. And that, like, I feel like that kind of like describes me, you know, like I'm kind of like the glue in between like both generations. Like, I cut up with you guys, you know what I'm saying? I cut up with Blake Reed, Sam Knight, like all those guys. But then again, like, to like the younger guys, like Logan Myers and Clayton Clark, like I'm their vet. Like I'm what they look at as you guys. And it's just, it's a weird outlook. You know what I'm saying? Like, this wrestling thing is kind of weird. It's
really fucking weird. He just called us old, Dickie.
I know. There was a show in Spencer one time, and I don't remember who I was talking to. My memory is shit. And I'm standing looking around, and I'm like, it dawned on the oldest, one of the oldest guys in this fucking locker room. And then I was talking to, it was a show that Cole Radrick was booking. And I
love
told
that, dude.
I told Cole, I was like, brother, I'm one of the oldest guys here right now. Like, it's making me. He was another one. I was there for his first. Yeah. You reffed his first match. Yeah. That's a fun fact. Cole Radrick wore Michael Madrox's old gear in his first match. It was a three-way, wasn't it? Do you remember the other two?
It was Alexander Kirk and a guy that was in the New Wave Academy. His name was Jordan Compton.
That was his name, because he almost killed himself in that fucking match.
Yeah, he did. He did the I call it the Myron Reed dive.
I call it the Ricochet dive. Same shit. You dive over the post to the outside.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know this. And I feel like this might be like my claim to fame or whatever. But I actually graduated the same time out of the wrestling school as Cole Roderick.
Yeah. You guys were all together.
Yeah. Just to see, like, I mean, dude, that dude's so fucking
Well, weird. Here's what's so funny about this is that you mentioned that that New Wave Pro Academy class, which is going to kind of bring it back to the whole parents thing, because I had a moment with your dad during, because people don't know this, your dad was a manager for some time, and I trained him on being a manager. And I'll just tell this quick Papa Davis story, and then we'll get into the Cole Roderick story I'm getting ready to tell. But he I was teaching him heat on the outside and like showing him how to throw a fucking slap and how to – and he threw this shit slap. And I fucking grabbed his shoulder and work slapped him where you hit like more on the neck.
Yeah.
And his face got fucking beat red. And I said, that's how you throw a slap. And he goes, just all red face. Yeah. He goes, thank you. And then he went back to what he was doing.
Well, not a lot of people like my, it was something my dad always wanted to do. I don't think it was necessarily his outlook of wanting to do it. I just think that he's seen my drive to be in the business, and he's
so like, that he could try to have that common bond.
Yeah, exactly. And like it was a big learning curve for him.
It is for everyone.
I mean, my dad's a fucking country boy from Marietta, Ohio.
Hey, that motherfucker got me lost in the woods for like 3 hours one day mushroom hunting.
See, oh, like God. My dad.
We all have a lost in the woods mushroom hunting
everybody,
story.
Everybody, and if the original sins look at this, Tyler Lytle gives me crap about it all the time. But everybody in locker rooms are like, Dalton, like, you know, I see you wearing your forces, but why are you doing that? Like, you're a hick. And it's because like I have such strong genes of my dad in me, and that's.
Well, when you talk to your dad and he's talking to you like this, it's kind of hard to see where he comes from.
Well, let me tell you something, Dickie. Yeah.
So naturally, let's put him with some bikers and make him a fucking biker character.
Yeah.
100%. What name did your dad use when he managed?
So fun story about that. My dad used JD. That was his name.
Okay.
And how he got that name was the show that me and my dad always watched as a kid. Was Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
And there is a segment in one of the episodes where they go to Boss Hogg, and it's Boss Hogg's wife. Boss Hogg's wife says, Jesse J.D. Davis.
That his name was, okay, I remember now.
And
I remember
looked right over at my dad, because my dad was struggling at that time, and I looked right over at my dad, and I said, that's it. And he said, what do you mean? I said, J.D. is your gimmick name.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? And I rewinded it and I showed it to him. And he goes, makes sense.
Yeah.
And so that's how he got it. So JD.
Yeah. But anyway, that same training session, that same day where I gave him the worker slap, I called everyone. I said, all right, guys, it's time for promo class with Dickie Wabash. Cole, come over here. You're first. He stumbled and mumbled his way through that fucking promo, and it was the shits. Yeah. So it's so cool, dude, to like, and it sounds like, and I swear to you, it's not like, it almost sounds like when you're in the fucking locker room, brother, and that old fucking worker, you know, he gives you that.
You can't hear it, but I just slapped my bicep, yeah, brother.
He gives you that fish handshake, and he's
show
like,
me your lockup, kid.
Yeah, brother, you know, you go back and watch an episode of Raw from 2002. I was one of Undertaker's druids, which that wouldn't work. He was the American Badass, but you get my point. I was one of, but so it sounds like that when I'm talking about my stories of these guys starting out, but it's genuinely not what it is. I just think it's funny that. I'm not going to claim that I taught Cole Roderick how to cut a promo. I did not. I'm just saying that I was like, Roderick, get over here. You cut a promo. And he just stumbled and mumbled his way through it. And then I don't even remember what we did the rest of that night. But it's just one of those things of where it's so cool. It's just so cool to see. And again, it's not that trying to boost ego of like, I was there. It's just like, hey, fun fact.
Yeah.
I was there.
I know I remember this. I want to see if you remember this.
Go on.
Do you remember Parker's first bumps in an actual ring?
No, I may not have been there for that.
You were there.
My dad, was I?
Yeah.
You were there. CWF and Sullivan.
Oh, my God, yes!
Because
was it in Sullivan or was it in Mecca? I think it was the Mecca show.
Was it the Mecca show?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because my dad totaled a car that night.
Yes, yes, yes. Mecca. CWF and Mecca, because the other promoter said he was too young to start bumping. And he came early. He set up the ring. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I was like, Parker, you want to learn how to bump real quick? And he's like, all for it. Guess who did their first bumps that night?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I learned. And then my dad totaled a car that night.
Fun stories.
Good to know how I you know, he hit a car and learned how to tuck my chin on instinct.
It all learned how to tuck my chin. Yeah. So how
you're
did
welcome,
you,
Parker. I saved your life.
So how did you learn how to wrestle? Oh, my dad got in a car wreck and I was in the passenger
seat.
Dude,
I'm honestly still hurt about that. Like, RIP that Kia Optima, because that Kia Optima was sick.
But we all have that one car where you look back on and you're like, man, I miss that.
Yeah.
Man, I miss that. For me, it was my car before the one that I have now. Yeah. It was the one before I had an Envoy. And brother, that thing has been on. It has been to Georgetown, Illinois more times than any other fucking vehicle. I guarantee it. That car almost had programmed in autopilot how to get to fucking Georgetown up Route 1. I took that car everywhere. You've been in that car.
Do you remember my first vehicle?
No.
2002 Chevy Silverado Sport.
I do not remember
lime
this.
Lime fucking green with the fucking Brian from the Fast and the Furious fucking graphics on the side.
Fuck yes, dude.
Family.
Absolutely, dude. Man, yeah, I remember. Fun fact, there's a picture in my living room right now of me sitting in Brian's car from the first Fast and Furious.
I got it at a fucking car show at the old Menards built. Not the old Menards, Ames, when they closed down.
Oh, I know. We're getting real local, but yeah.
My stepdad went there and got that for me for my 15th birthday.
Yeah. So to bring it back to like the topic at hand here.
We have a topic because like. Well, I thought we had a guest host and it's been everything but.
We're bringing it back. It has, but he's just contributing to the fucking thing. You know,
I love conversation.
Man. Yeah, that's all this is. Like when we were first talking about how we were going to start having guests.
Yeah.
We knew right away. We don't want it to be like, so tell me who trained you.
How long have you been in the business,
what
kid?
Was your first match? Where do you see yourself? Tell us the backstage story. No, hey, we're not doing that. It's a just
backstage
a fucking
story. I want to know. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you in a ring?
Oh.
See, this is good shit. No one ever asked this.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Oh, knock wood.
Knock on wood. I don't think I have one.
No embarrassing stories.
I don't think I have. I mean, other than like botches, obviously. But, like, that just comes with the territory.
Yeah, that does.
But, like, I've not had, like,
a You gear. Never had a gun pointed at your face at a Special Olympics show?
There's a difference between... That's not embarrassing, though. That's just you being a fucking dick.
You were there, too, motherfucker.
I know. I'm not... We got to be careful how we tell that story, too, because there's
a different time back then.
There's some verbiage that was used that... In our defense, we did not know that it was the Special Olympics. In our defense.
They should have fucking told us before they gave us a private locker room.
Yeah.
Dustin,
oh, my God.
Dustin.
Do you know this? Do you know the story of when the riot happened?
I think we
told it with Travis, didn't we?
Yeah,
I don't remember. Anyway, long story short, Stephen Mitchell was in that match. We were working that now runs now Elite Pro Wrestling.
Stephen
he was in
too.
That match. He was in that match. Basically, we got heat. I was doing the CM Punk invisible microphone gimmick on this guy, and I might have called him an idiot.
Ooh.
And I did not realize that it was
you fucked up.
Special Olympics.
In Dickie's defense, though, there was some idiot he was managing that found out that they were the Special Olympics audience in the crowd, and I got in the ring and I was like. Let me rephrase that. That person got in the ring.
Yeah,
and was
that
like,
person allegedly.
Allegedly got in the ring on the real microphone and goes, I have two things everyone in this crowd wants. A fully functioning brain and a fully poseable body. And oh my God.
And now, boy, this might get me canceled and it's so okay. But wait for karma to bite you in the ass.
No, I was getting ready to say it.
It did. It did.
Now you're sitting here with fucking one leg, man.
I can still bend that knee, baby.
That's all that matters. That's
fuck
all
you,
that matters.
Karma.
So, you know, obviously, you know, you get in a very fucking weird way because you're landed on and you da 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 da. So you say you talk about you're going across the bridge that night after the show. Could you have ever imagined that it would have absolutely came true and you're living the dream?
No, honestly, So, like, not to get all sad, but, like, my story. This is my story. I was a very sick kid growing up. I had an immune deficiency. I had severe asthma. The doctors told me that I would never be able to really, like, be in public schools, play public sports, anything like that. My way to get by with wrestling was just like, okay, I get we have to run these tests right now, doctors. That's fine. Don't take me out of my room because Monday Night Raw is on.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like my thing that like kind of got me by.
That was your therapy.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember just growing up, like my like what gave me such that tough atmosphere was the Randy Orton Triple H storyline, you know, where like Randy Orton DDT'd Stephanie in the middle of the ring.
That just goes to show how fucking young Dalton Davis is and how old we are. I was in high school, like about to graduate when that story happened.
So I mean, you know, like growing up, like thinking like, okay, like this is something that I would like to do, but I don't know if the cards are in my favor. I initially started off as a referee.
Yep.
And then,
cause that's all they felt comfortable.
Yeah. That's all they felt comfortable doing.
Putting you
out. And, shout out to Ollie Tharp. Ollie Tharp pulled me aside and he said, look, he said, you're a good ref kid. He said, but I can tell your heart's not in it. He said, if you want to wrestle, he said, you make it happen.
Dude, there is something about Ollie that he has got this fucking sixth sense of when he can tell that your heart is not in something.
Yes.
Because he approached me one day and he said, you don't like ring announcing, do you? And I said, Ollie, I fucking hate it. I said, I want to be a manager. And he said, I can tell because you're just not yourself tonight. And there's just something about that motherfucker that he's got. And I say that with love. I'm not that motherfucker. Can we say
experience?
It's experience, but it's just like, yeah, absolutely it is. But it's just, there's something about him. He's just got this sixth sense. Love him. On the subject of Ollie,
like, Ollie doesn't get enough credit for all the shit
he does. He really should.
No, I guarantee every worker that we know has an Ollie Tharp story that was like mind-blowing.
Or Tharp, but go on.
Tharp.
Yeah. So anyway, continue.
So yeah, like Ollie told me, he was like, hey, like, I can clearly tell you, you're a good ref.
It's crazy,
man. I'm not
man.
Knocking on that. He said, but I can clearly tell you want to wrestle. And I said, okay. And then, you know, initially New Wave Academy was like a little iffy because of my age.
And because of your health issues.
My health issues as well. And I don't know if it was more so of me just being annoying or him being legit, but Mikey at the time. Said
Mikey, who used to run New Wave Pro.
Yes, he said, look, if you can get me a health note saying that you are fully capable of doing this, we'll start it.
And see, it's so funny that you say that because I remember having the conversations with him and him being like, all he needs is I need a doctor's seal of approval. That's all I need, and that kid can get in the ring. I remember having these conversations with him.
And so literally the next day, because we ran trainings on Sundays. Mondays,
I remember those days.
Monday came around. I told my dad, I'm not going to school. I want to go to the doctor, get a full checkup. Dad said, why? And I said, Mikey said I could start training if I can get a full doctor's note of approval. My dad said, all right.
And good for him, though.
Yeah.
Good for him for, like, embracing and like accepting that this is and not crushing the dream and accepting of like, this is what the kid wants to do.
Yeah.
Then let's fucking make it happen.
And honestly, dude, like I can't give either of my parents enough credit for that. Like, I mean, it's a wild idea. Like, oh, well, my son wants to put on spandex and be a professional wrestler like John Cena. And the fact that, you know, my dad, somebody who rarely grew up on wrestling. I mean, my dad's dad is a preacher. He didn't condone to that. The fact that my dad and my mom were just so willing to, okay, son, this is what you want to do. Let me help you with that, is something that I don't think I could ever in a million lifetimes be able to repay them for.
You kind of just repaid your mom with 30 minutes straight of a podcast.
Yeah, get your shine over, Ma. Now
we talked about her for 10 minutes.
Yeah, now it's Papa Davis's turn.
Yeah.
But my dad took me to Dr. De La Cruz. That was my doctor at the time. And she was like, so what do you want to do? And I said, I just need a full checkup saying that I'm okay to be a wrestler. And she was like high school wrestling. And I said, nope, like the stuff you see on TV. And she kind of gave me like that wild eye look. And I'll never forget, my dad looked at her and he said, he's being serious. And so I did a full physical. I got that paper back. Luckily, you know, my family and Mikey's family are really close at the time. So we ended up driving to Mikey's house after the fact. And I gave Mikey the papers. And Mikey said, it's all I needed. He's like, all right. And he made my mom and dad sign a waiver saying, you know, like, because granted, I was young.
It was my next question. I was going to say, if you want to kayfabe it, you can. But how old were you?
I can't give you an exact age.
It's just all blends together.
It all blends together. Yeah. I can tell you what grade I'm in, though.
Okay.
I was in sixth grade. Starting sixth grade.
Sixth grade's roughly
11, 12.
How old Logan is.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what's so weird about this, because that's literally what we're going through with his son.
Yeah. So I'd given it to Mikey. Mikey was like, all right. He's like, show up for training on Sundays. I said, okay. And so I was stoked. I was so stoked. We get there. He had my mom and my dad sign a waiver, just essentially saying like, hey, if this is something you guys want your sons to do, then so be it. We're not going to be responsible because he's so young, which I completely respect. And I understand
you got to protect your business.
Yeah. 100%. If I was in his shoes, I would have done.
Just sign one of those.
So I started training that day. And granted, you know, there was hell and high water, trials and tribulations, however you want to word it, process.
They were hard on you specifically.
Yeah,
because you were a kid.
Yeah, they were definitely hard on me. And honestly, like, growing up, man, like I was always like, you guys met me as a kid, man. Like I was,
yeah, I flipped you off and told you to fuck off.
Like I wasn't the most athletically fit. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the most self-confidence. I wasn't the, you know, like, oh, this kid is promising. Like, if honestly,
dude, I'm sorry. Time out. It's fucking Logan. It's Logan, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to just spoiler ski here, because we've already recorded what the next podcast is going to be. Dude, your story is so fucking similar to Logan's. Because I flat out ask him, and this is a little spoiler, like I said, I flat out ask him, has this helped with your self-confidence? And he said, oh, 100%. Yeah. It's just crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
And honestly,
this is why you should harbor your children's dreams and not crush them.
Yeah, 100%. Like I didn't have self-confidence. You know, granted, like I didn't really get, I mean, I got bullied because of my weight, 100%. But I was always just that kid that was kind of around, you know what I'm saying? Like no one ever noticed me, but no one ever really dogged me.
Can I chime in here?
I was the same way.
Go ahead.
Go on.
I remember when I first met his mom, there was a kid bullying you at school. And your mom wanted me to come to school with you one day and shut the kid up for you.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I had a, like, just training, man, and like just getting something. Now, granted, I was doing football and stuff around this time, but just getting something that like I genuinely could sink my teeth into. You know what I'm saying? Like going home, watching it on wrestling, like even if it wasn't Monday or Fridays at the time, if I was on the internet or if I was watching videos or if I was watching DVDs, it was wrestling. I wasn't watching Spider-Man. I wasn't watching The Incredible Hulk. I wasn't watching The Avengers. I was watching professional wrestling. And that was just kind of something that I honed myself around. I got a lot of flack from my peers and some of my family. But it never stopped me.
And it shouldn't.
Yeah. It shouldn't. Like
if you believe in your dream enough, you really shouldn't let it.
Yeah. And it was just something like, it wasn't necessarily like, and this might make me sound like a piece of shit wrestler. I don't care.
So go on.
Yeah, it's all right.
Listen, Travis Weir and I use piece of shit as a term of endearment. So it's fine.
I'd never had the dream of being Mr. WrestleMania. I never had the dream of being like, oh, that's the guy. My dream was, I'm going to make a career out of this, because the doctor that put an IV in my arm 37 fucking times told me that I couldn't fucking do this.
chip that's on your shoulder. We I talk about it all that. The time. Yeah. Same for you. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so it's just more of like, it was more of like a, I want to do this because this helped me through so much. Like, I know you guys hear this so much, like wrestling owes you nothing. You owe it everything. And granted, like, that's such a cliche piece of shit vet term to use. But for me, that's the honest to God truth. Like, I can tell you right now, if it wasn't for wrestling, I don't know if I would have made it through the medical shit that I made it through.
I honestly think you would have, because you got the same mentality as me. Tell me I can't and I'll show you I fucking can.
Exactly. But it was just that wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, exactly. Yeah.
That was like, okay. It was
the extra step.
Yeah, it was push. The extra step. Like, I remember I was watching, this is going to sound so stupid, but I remember I was watching Kane, and like I had got on like some, like, you know, just shitty YouTube video of some dumbass that doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And it was just telling like Kane.
So you looked up a Jason Levi match. It's a joke. The
Painted Warrior, baby.
It's a joke. I love you, Levi.
This guy had posted this big story on Kane, and it was like, you know, Kane's a burn victim. His family abandoned him. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, they wrote a kayfabe novel.
Yeah.
About, have you read it?
Probably.
It's called Journey into Darkness. Have you read this?
No.
It's the most bizarre fucking thing in the world, because it's like the kayfabe origin story of Kane, but it's written as a novel.
You have it, don't you?
Somewhere.
Because you were supposed to let me borrow it.
Somewhere we looked through your bookshelf
last time I was here.
I'll find it. Anyway, sorry.
Moral of the story, I don't want to get too long-winded because I want to get on other topics. But yeah, that was just kind of like, never in a million years did I think that I would be a professional wrestler. You know, like, the biggest achievement that I have hasn't been the titles or anything. It was this kid who's seen some things. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of had a rough life. His name's Carter. He's my biggest fan, man. He's my biggest fan. I get a birthday video every year of him throwing up the hand gimmick. And
there
saying,
you go.
Happy birthday, Dalton. And it's like, okay, granted, I might not ever sell out the Madison Square Garden. I might not ever win the Royal Rumble or cash in a Money in the Bank that I won to become the heavyweight champion. But that kid right there is going to achieve his dreams because he knows who the fuck Dalton Davis is.
Have you seen the Johnny Gargano documentary that they made about him before he got signed
on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same concept, because Gargano, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same concept, as where there was this kid who was sick and like Johnny Gargano was his favorite. And that made me like, that's what makes me a Johnny Gargano fan. Is yeah. Shit like that.
100%. Dude.
I think that's everyone's goal. If you can find one person to make their life a little bit better just for 5 minutes while you're out there, like, you've done your fucking job.
Oh, 100%.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather fucking do that than get paid millions of dollars any day.
I'm content with where I'm at. I am content with where I am.
Yep.
Like, my thing is this is my dream. Wrestling is my dream. WWE is not my dream.
That makes sense.
As cool as it would be to get a contract put on my table.
It's same. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Wrestling is my dream.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I can hit up my friends and say, hey, you know, I have cheap plug. I have a match coming up at Hybrid Championship Wrestling in town, where I can tell my coworkers and they can come and they can experience such a big part of my life and enjoy it and enjoy my match, just because, like, not just because they're my homies, but because I'm out there having a good match, is enough for me.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Well, it's like at the Midwest Collective, like, my family was there. Like, yeah. We were talking, and it was so cool. Like, my mom and dad had seen me wrestle. Or I'm sorry, but I didn't wrestle. I fucking commentated. They've seen me at wrestling shows before.
You had that one, though.
You had that one
with John Stone.
I've had four matches.
That was close.
Four matches. I'll put you over, kid.
Put me over, big brother. Let me go dust off the Kaufman gear.
Speaking of stories, when I first lost my leg, this motherfucker was messaging me while I was in the hospital saying, bro, comeback story. Me and you, we go out both the same
exactly,
way.
Exactly, dude.
Madrox, listen, check this shit out, dude. pile driver from the top rope through the table. Go home.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I'll put you over.
I could go for a falsie and pull the fucking prosthetic off.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Or the old video of Rhino and Zach Gowen in a battle royal, and Zach Gowen doesn't get eliminated because both feet have to touch the floor. So Rhino grabs the fake leg and throws it out. But
you're over,
anyway,
kid. You're over.
To bring it serious for a minute, then we'll get off the serious shit. But like, that's what's so cool about it is that I had family in from Kansas City, and they had seen me years before. They had seen me back in like 2013 or whenever. But it was funny to see them because they were sat like right in front of where we were sat doing commentary. And first match, they're like, "This is different." And then and then when your match came on, the tables match with you and Gaston, that was when they were slowly starting. That's when the alcohol kicked in. They were like, so we're probably going to start giving a little rapsky here, but do you remember, you may not remember this because this was not a big thing, but I gave you advice one time. And do you remember the specific advice that I gave you?
Specifics, no, because you've given me a lot of advice, bub.
Not to pat myself on the back.
Put yourself over, kid.
You had come, and again, we will not name names. You had come to watch a show that I was booked on with, the Jays are squeaking in the studio, brother.
Out on the court.
I got them purple mochas on. Let's go. But you had come to a show that I was booked on to watch with somebody.
Yeah.
Will not name names. And you guys were kind of being douchebags in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like you were going, because we talked about it earlier, how once you got the Iggy, you understood you were kind of taking that a little bit too far.
Yeah.
You were just being douchebags.
Cocky and confident.
Yes.
I remember this night. I have a different story to fill you in on, but go ahead.
Okay. And I remember that's when you were first breaking in as a referee.
Yeah.
And you were going to go to, and I was close with the promoter at the time, and you were going to approach, and you're going to be like, "Hi, I'm Parker. I've started reffing, blah, blah, blah." And I remember intermission going up to you. I looked you dead in the eyes and said, "You need to fucking quit." And you said, "I'm just having fun." I said, "That's the problem." I said, "You can have fun. You're making a nuisance of yourself, and people are looking your direction by the way you're acting. If you ever want to work for this company, you can be a fan. You can be a fan. 100%, that's fine. But you gotta tone it down a little bit." And 100%. I would give the Iggy to your buddy as well.
Yeah.
And I remember that night, you chilled. You were still cheering and stuff, but he did not. Guess who got booked and guess who didn't?
I will say this, and this is kind of just like my little quick jab back at said person.
Oh boy.
Said person didn't want to book me because of my age. When that said person stepped down, two other people stepped up.
Okay. I'm filling in the blanks here. I know exactly.
And I was still very young.
But they used you.
Very young. And they used me.
I remember. Yep.
And
I was out of the business at this time.
I had a very good match against Tanner Keeler. That wanted me back.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would still go back to this day. But just that moment being told that this company wants me back told me, "Go fuck yourself, kid."
Let's end it with this because it's funny you mentioned Tanner. Do you remember his first day of training?
I made him throw up.
I was there. No, you made Johnny throw up.
I made them both throw up.
Oh, well, I was there when Echo threw up. I just talked with him about this at a EPW show. I was like, "You probably don't remember." He's like, "I remember you being there."
Yeah.
Yeah. It was you and Levi ran those. You ran them hard through drills.
Yeah. I had a match with my green kid not too long ago, which you guys know about. And Tanner just happened to be there being ring announcing.
He's ring announcing now?
It was just for that soul.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because that was his hometown.
Yeah.
But Tanner had pulled my green kid aside, and it kind of, I can't lie, it kind of made me feel good. He was, he was just telling me like, hey, like if you're with Dalton, like you're going to be all right. Like Dalton's done a lot for me. And the real funny part for me was he looked at my green kid and he said, I'm going to tell you the exact same thing Dalton told me my first day of training. If you like your knees, get the fuck out of wrestling. And it broke me, dude. It broke me.
Can we just take a moment to reflect here, like to wrap everything up in perspective? Yeah. Our green kid has a green kid now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We're going to the nursing home soon.
I have three. If you want to get technical, I had a hand in training Tanner Keeler and Johnny Echo. He won't claim it, but I also had a hand in training Akira, who you see on MLW now.
Oh my God, he was another one that I was there from day one. I thought he was so fucking annoying, but then like you get to know him a little bit more, and you're like, he's just trying to soak up as much as he can.
Yeah. I had the same issue with him, and then now I have Makai, and it's, you know, I'm not saying that like I could teach people up to be the, you know, where they need to be, but
yeah,
fuck man, like if I know the international, or if I know like just something general basis of wrestling, I'm gonna do my best to help somebody else live their dream.
Yeah,
because I don't want to be that said doctor that was to me is like, hey kid, you ain't got what it takes.
I understand that completely.
Been there before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I think that at some point there needs to be a fucking part two. We need to have you, and a part three and a part four. The fucking studio is open whenever we can get you in.
I want
to
be back.
We need a part just about his stories.
Yeah, that's true, because there's so much that we didn't cover. Like we covered plenty of stories, but like, because you guys got to think about this. Like when you were first starting to run, I had gotten out.
Yeah.
And so there's shit that I don't even really know about. I mean, we shared, like, I would say,
I would say like, maybe 25-30%.
Yeah, but of stories of us together, we only shared like probably 50%.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more to tell. There's a lot more to tell. We definitely got to get you back on, man.
Dude, I am so down. This is something that I haven't really got to do a whole lot of, but I enjoy it. I'm not very outspoken in the ring like I should be. But this is just genuinely something that I've enjoyed doing and I want to do more of. So anytime you guys got it in the cards, I'm definitely down.
All right. So Dalton, here's the thing. We want to get as many eyes on you as possible. So, if you want to hit us with some upcoming dates, where we can see you.
July 22nd, I have Hybrid Championship Wrestling.
We will be there as well.
Usually you can catch me the second or third weekend of every month at Shelbyville, Indiana for New Era Wrestling.
Okay.
I have August 23rd for Envision Wrestling, and I have October 28th for Envision Wrestling as well. My dates are few and far between, and they're kind of just coming to me as they go, as much, you know, independent wrestling goes. But yeah, you know, I've got a Facebook page. I've got an Instagram. Any way that anybody wants to reach out, I'm definitely there for. I try to message back as quickly as I possibly can. And all my dates usually get posted on those as well.
Yeah, we'll leave a link to the social medias in the
for sure
in the info of this podcast. But well, that's going to be it. But before we get out of here, we just got to, again, you guys know the spiel. Listen, 5-star reviews on your favorite podcasting platform. That truly does help us grow. Share us with a friend that you think that would enjoy the podcast, because we're very organic here. We're making things grow. You got a finger up. What do you got going on?
So, look, I'm not trying to be a dickhead. I'm not trying to get, you know, my people's over.
But, uh-oh.
I've told my closest people that I was going to be on a podcast.
Okay.
I was
giving them the rubski.
Oh, boy. I've got to give a little bit of a rubski. If I give a quick shout out,
go right ahead, man.
So these people are truly who Dalton Davis is closest to heart. And they keep me grounded and keep me going.
Mama Davis, Papa
Davis. I got the herd, which is, Jason Levi, Colby Jack, Hillbilly Jed, and Nikki Marini.
I fucking love, we got to get Colby on here, dude. Hey, so bad.
I got a treat for you coming soon.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Look, you need to get me and Colby on there together, because we have some stories. Spoiler alert.
Oh, boy. Tell me when we're done.
I got you.
I'd like to give a shout out to my cousin Dalton Cornelius, who conveniently enough, is where I got the Dalton Davis.
I was getting ready to say, is that where the name Dalton Davis comes from?
We used to play PSPs all the time at my grandma Becky's, and it was always SmackDown versus Raw. So shout out to him. Shout out to my cousin Tommy. Shout out to my cousin Ricky and Chris Quinn, who is a coworker of mine, who never really fails to remember to tell me at least just who the fuck I am.
There you go.
Even on my worst days. So I owe a lot to him. So yeah, I'm sorry for the, you know, cheap plug.
I mean,
this is your podcast too, brother.
this is your platform. We're definitely going to have you back though, because we scratched the surface. We got deep into some shit, but I mean, we can go deeper. So.
I just want to chime in. You know what this idiot left out?
What's up?
July 29th.
What's July 29th?
Oh yeah, July 29th, West Tea Fest, brother.
Fuck, dude.
You'll be hanging on with Mad Bash all over again.
You're going to be there
with us. Wow, I guess I'll go fuck myself. But yeah, I'll be there as well, along with the sheriff, Clayton Clark.
Well, yay. No, we had to cancel him.
Word.
He double booked himself, yeah.
Oh, well, that's because he's the fucking law. That's why everybody wants the law.
Here's the fucking problem with Clayton, and I fucking love him to death, but it's like, I told him the other day, I was like, brother, quit getting so fucking over. I want to hang out with you.
Hey, look, Clayton, I love you, man.
Take the job, bro.
I hope you listen to this.
I think that we have now officially mentioned Clayton Clark on every episode of Spot Show.
Way to get yourself over, fucking bitch.
Oh, we got to keep it on track, though. Matt Maverick.
And Matt Maverick. We always mention Matt Maverick. But, yeah, man, July 29th, we're going to be at West Tea Fest. Come hang out with the brothers.
For sure.
We got a couple more surprises that we trying to get in store here. But for sure, old Bud Light Brawler is going to be there.
Yes, sir.
Again, find us on your favorite podcasting platform. 5-star review. Share us with someone that you think would enjoy us. You already plugged your social media.
Thank you.
You can find me at AttaboyDicky on Instagram. This new Threads social media that just started. It's like supposed to be a Twitter competitor. I'm on there now too. Same handle. We'll see where this fucking goes.
I drink beer. I don't do social media.
I don't know. Madrox _ BSB. Whenever he decides to pop up. So I'm going to repeat myself. We got to have you back on. We're definitely gonna make that happen. So yeah, we will. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Thank you.